Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
The Bible Talks is a show that discusses deep theology in a simple way.
If you're interested in theology and the Bible, but don't consider yourself a theologian, this is a show for you.
We are Josh and Heather Tice. We minister and lead the Southern Hills Baptist Church of Las Vegas.
We love each other, love theology, and love to talk.
You can find this and previous episodes in our iTunes podcast or on KVXL 101.1 Experience Liberty Radio.
Now, we always start with a little fun, and I'm ready. Are you ready, Josh?
Hey, let's do it.
This is episode 11, and today I thought before we begin sharing some verses that we were talking about that were extra special to us, we are going to start with our fun question for today.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me what the question is.
Okay. This is one for the married folks out there. It's one for, we're sending this out to all you lovers out there. Okay.
All this you question, lovers out there.
This question is this. If you gave your spouse an entire Saturday of your time, what would he or she have you do?
So if I gave you an entire afternoon, day?
Yeah.
24 hours?
We'll say day, 24 hours.
24 hours of my time. What would you have me do? And that's a tough question.
Tough.
Am I supposed to get it? I'm supposed to guess, and then you're going to tell me if I'm right?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Okay. So I would think it's a typical chores. There's a list of things that you want me to do around the house or for the children. And I think that's what you would have me do. Accomplish acts of service for you. Am I right?
I don't know, because honestly, I was just thinking about this question from my point of view of, like, what would I do? What would you want me to do? I wasn't thinking through what I would want you to do.
I was actually thinking
like chores done a specific way.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I just
and
need
I do
extra
them,
time
I do
to
them
do
correctly.
Them. Yes, and I like to do them incorrectly. So I would rather do my chores incorrectly, I think, than have you do them the right way.
I feel like you're being passive aggressive.
No, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it depends. It's hard. You've got the tougher end of this because you're married to a woman who changes like regularly,
true.
More than the wind.
Correct.
And so
I never
it
have
depends.
To get remarried because you're a different woman every year.
Yes, we keep things true. Exciting. Variety is the spice true. Of life, the she's, spice of marriage.
She's shifting and changing and she's just different opinions and I just try to keep
so
up.
So some days I do love hiking. So that would you
oh,
know
you
that
go
that
do
would
something.
Be sometimes,
yeah, go
but
on a
sometimes
hike.
I'm tired and I'm like, let's just sleep in.
I know, and it's hard for me to know when you want to do what.
Do I need to be more vocal with my request?
No, you just need to do whatever I want you to do every day.
So and see, most of the time I'm not in a shopping mood. I do like being home. I love ordering pizza, like watching the game. At
so
home.
The question is what?
Well, I mean, it depends. Is there a game on? What's the weather like? What's my schedule been like? Am I tired?
All right.
I don't know. This was a bad question.
I'm already getting bored.
Okay. Let me see if I can guess yours. So an entire Saturday.
Yes.
And we've actually before taken a day.
I don't change that much, so I'm sure you'll be able to figure this out.
Okay. You do like to go out,
yeah.
But we've had days where we have just stayed home.
Yeah.
Kids are at school. Don't tell the children we do this. And we will literally just move the couch up close to the TV and we will just like binge watch a show.
We've done that once in the last 7 years.
I thought we did it twice.
Twice in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should do that again.
But that was really fun.
Yeah.
And we just sat there and binge watched. We went back to bed. We like got sleep. We binge watched a show.
And we pretended we had no children.
Yes, we ate pizza at home. So that's what my answer was, because that's what immediately came to mind.
Now, some of you are thinking, how dare they pretend they have no children and act? Look, you have to understand, we were married when we were, 14? And then we had children when we were 15 or something like this.
And we love them dearly.
And so we've never actually been
Jonathan,
away
Savannah,
from our
Scarlett,
children.
We love you.
Yeah,
you're
they
the
listen to this
life.
Podcast. It's the first thing
Their
they want to do every day
them.
When they get home from school.
Sit down and listen to this. Take
Mom,
notes.
Dad, can we listen to the podcast?
Just kidding. Oh, dear. Okay. That's all the time we've got.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a real dud. Let's get on, and hopefully the rest of this podcast will be better.
Well, we have
it can
good,
only go up from here. We set the bar really low.
We have a really good topic to discuss today.
We do.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about specific Bible verses today that just are very special to us as individuals.
Yeah, you wanted to do this episode from the very beginning, and I kept putting it off because I could not think of three Bible verses that mean something.
Yeah. Well, you've come up with them, right? You are prepared now, aren't you?
I did. I spent the last few months studying the Word of God to see if I could find three Bible verses that mean something to me.
Well, that's very comforting to know that my pastor is such a student of the Word.
Here's the reality. Yes. I love the Bible so much, and every passage, most of it memorized, of course. And
of course.
It just took me a long time to decide, of the thousands I know, which were the most important to me.
Okay. Well, let's get right into it. So we're going to start with the life verse. I remember hearing this concept the first time when I was a teenager. And it was kind of funny because I lied. I didn't have one. And I was embarrassed because I was the junior of the squad, like the younger girl. It was a Christian school. And so I lied and thought of, like, I was like, I know it sounds cliche, but John 3:16, because that's the only one I can remember the reference to. And I was real nervous.
That's the way Christian schools work. Peer pressure on picking the right Bible verse
for your
life.
But do you know what happened after that?
Even the cheerleaders have to pick a Bible verse.
I didn't know.
Cool.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a life verse. But after that, it got me thinking about what would I want people to say about me. Like, what is the one verse that's kind of the challenge for my life, my life goal, life ambition. That's kind of why I took it. Like the verse I would want people to say, this was who Heather Tice was at my funeral or be on my gravestone. So
okay,
I'll go first.
What
mine
is
Psalm 34:1.
Psalm 34:1.
Yes,
I
love
that.
The whole chapter of Psalms. Yeah. And in fact, you knew that because after that experience, that harrowing, embarrassing experience as a cheerleader, I did start looking through the scripture and thought, hey, one day I'm going to find one. And it wasn't too long after that I was reading through the Psalms, and it's never changed. All these years, this has been my only ever life verse. Now, I've had other favorite verses.
It was our second date. I think you said, this is my life verse.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the life verse.
Yeah, we're through.
We're through. It's a very serious thing to
do. Do you still like it?
What, are you going to divorce me?
No.
Of course,
but
it's a scripture
verse. I might
give
you the cold shoulder.
No. I love the verse.
Okay.
It's a powerful verse. Go.
The verse says this, Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's what I would like to be said of me, that she always had something good to say about the Lord. She always had something to praise God for, to thank him for. So that's my life verse and goal. And I'm continually reminded that I don't do that enough. I can become very critical, frustrated with things, and it's just a wonderful thing to be thankful, and there's so much good to praise God for. There's so many wonderful things about him. So that's my life verse. Josh,
like
what about
it.
You?
Okay, mine is Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I like that verse because from an early age in my teenage years, I picked that and I said, that's what I want to be. I want to be purposed in my heart that I will follow Christ and I will not defile myself with the things of this world. So, been a very helpful Bible verse over the
How
years.
How old were you when you made that?
16 years old.
Really?
Yeah, because I had gone through, obviously, the same type of peer pressures that most teenagers do. That is the peer pressure of which is your favorite Bible verse.
And intense.
Which one will... No, I mean, really, I'd surround... My family, I guess, had surrounded me with some good kids. And I think it was a discussion that took place at a camp that I was working at in Arizona called West Branch of the Bill Ranch. And the other high school students that were working there, we were discussing Bible life verses. And I think in my devotions, I found that verse. And I think that's when I applied it to my life. So we're going on 20 years, something like that.
And you've never varied. That's been the
one, my whole life, yeah.
You know, I didn't know that. I don't think I could have named your life verse. Yeah. It's good we're doing this podcast
well,
so I can
it's
learn
because
that
I,
about you.
I study you. I study your your life and things about you and you
okay,
ignore.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Where did I find my life verse?
No. Let's go to a complete, to prove that I study you. Let me give you your Subway order and then you give mine. Are you ready? Yours, turkey and ham, lettuce, onion, salt and pepper, oil and vinegar, mayonnaise. That's yours.
Oh, you forgot cucumbers.
No, you added cucumbers only 5 years ago. I knew that. That was yours since the beginning. Name mine.
Tuna.
Exactly wrong. See,
meatloaf.
This is the problem. Our listeners will get to know that I study you.
You like
and
everything.
And you ignore me.
No. You're so engrossed in my beauty as
no,
we eat that you don't even notice what you're eating. So,
Daniel
I'm going to tell you where I found my life first.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was still very young and it was on a piano book. I had the Sacred Hymns piano book and I really hated practicing. And I'm looking at the cover when I should have been practicing my piano and it had an open Bible open to Psalm 34 was one of the passages on it. And I'm reading the verses on the cover of my piano book so I didn't have to practice piano. But after that, it stuck with me. Like I said, all of these years, it's never changed. So that's where I found my verse.
Well, if our listeners are thinking to themselves, I want a life verse, how would they go about finding one for themselves?
Well, I think the better thing is not to read your piano book, but to as you do your devotions. And
not sure many people were rushing to their piano.
Yeah, they were. I know some people were. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but I think just reading through it and really considering, Lord, what do you have for my life? What is my life going to say? What is my life's purpose? Or something. Yours is really more of a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have a lot more to say about that. What would you say people should do looking for a life verse?
Well, they should Google life verses. And the top 10 that come up, pick one. No, yeah. Spend time with the Lord and find a verse that you think you want to symbolize your life and your walk with God.
And if you don't have a life verse and someone asks you for your life verse, you don't have to lie about it. Just be real and be like, I don't have one yet. Still looking for it.
All right. Are you ready for the next verse?
I am. So the next verse we're going to share is a verse that has been a daily help. So what is a verse that Josh has been one that you go to, I mean, nearly daily? Is something that's so... something that God has used so powerfully in your life that's so necessary that you go to it time and time again.
Well, I like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58.
Oh, that's so good.
I like that one. At the end of Corinthians, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That is, stay where you're at. Keep doing what God's called you to do. Don't be moving. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do what God's called you to do. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is, what you're doing for the Lord is not empty. It's not worthless. Mm-hmm. It will accomplish something. And, you know, for us,
we keep going.
Yeah, we've kind of dedicated our lives to trying to do what God wants us to do. And in doing so, sometimes we feel like, no, you know, are we accomplishing anything? And I don't know of any...
Everybody feels that way in the Christian life at times.
Yeah, I don't know of any young woman...
Is the enemy coming after us to discourage us?
Yeah. Yeah, and this verse really comes around. And I think it's Paul. Paul telling the Corinthian church, look, what you're doing matters. Mm. Now, Paul has to tell them after the end of 1 Corinthians because he spends most of the book yelling at the church, saying, you're doing wrong, you know?
Do you think Paul was yelling as he wrote this epistle?
When I read 1 Corinthians, I feel like I'm getting yelled at. So, yeah, I think he was very upset with the Corinthians about a bunch of stuff, but he kind of calms down at the end, and I think spiritually so, but he kind of calms down at the end and says, I just want you to know that what you're doing is not in vain. Mm. Keep working, keep serving the Lord, and be steadfast and unmovable and always abound in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. So I love that verse. And, you know, that keeps me going sometimes when I feel like, what am I doing? What is this? Is this pointless? Is this worthless? Should I be doing other things? And I like that verse quite a bit.
Yeah, there have been times that we've kind of shared that with one another during discouraged points in ministry. You know, I remember the first time I ever heard that verse. I was in a small church in Alabama, and one of the older gentlemen got up. It was kind of a testimony time at the beginning, and he shared this verse that he had just read that week. And I'll never forget hearing him share it and just the devotion that he had, the emotion and the passion he had for it. It just came alive to me. I remember as a teenager sitting there and thinking that was a great verse, and I never forgot it. So just an encouragement as you share things with your kids or with church or family or friends or coworkers, you never know when something is going to be used by the Holy Spirit to really touch your life. I know the Lord used him to give me that verse for years to come that day, and it's been meaningful ever since. So that would be one of my ministry verses, but I would say the one that I go to for daily help, this is one from John 17:4, and it's one that goes out really to women in general, because I think as women, our minds work differently from men. We have this never-ending to-do list that's constantly going. If you're a man listening, I want you to just imagine that your computer screen is filled up with those little pop-up reminders, and every time you check off two or three, four more pop up. That's what a woman's brain is like. We are continually having a to-do list. And so it's overwhelming, and we tend to have trouble with boundaries. That's why you'll find a lot of books written to women on the idea of boundaries and using time wisely and the art of saying no, the power of no. So this was something that years ago when our kids were little, I really was just so overwhelmed with life, and it happens still, but I remember learning this when the kids were little. And the Lord gave me this passage in John 17:4. It's the words of Jesus. And he says this. He says, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do." And that has meant so much to me because of the fact that I realize I only need to complete every day what God has for me to do that day. And so often I'm trying to do this whole list, and it's discouraging because I don't get there. But if I realize, Lord, you've given me this amount of time, you don't expect me to do more in this period of time than I can do, I just need to listen to your voice. I need to focus on the priorities you have given me and just glorify you. It makes it so simple each day to not stress out. Well, that didn't get done. It's okay. You know, I glorified God. I finished what he gave me to do. That's all
I've
to
never,
do today.
I've never really seen that verse in that light until you start putting it around the house. And so I've really enjoyed that. We've never really talked about this too much, but I've really enjoyed seeing that verse even around the house, because it is a reminder. It's okay. You've got accomplished what God's called you to accomplish. And it's a very, very helpful.
Yeah, it's still up in our bathroom today. I put it in a frame.
Yeah.
And it's on my bathroom counter. So every morning, when I say it's a daily thing, every morning I see that verse. And it's a reminder of, God, what do you have for me to do today? I want to glorify you. And I don't want to worry about the other things that are not part of your plan for me. So that's my daily help verse.
I love it.
For the next one.
Yeah.
We have got a verse that is a comfort verse. What is something that comforts you, whether with you're dealing with fear, anxiety, a verse for comfort?
Okay, I've got it.
You've got it?
I've got one. Here it is. It's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as unto the Lord."
That is so comforting.
It brings so much comfort
to know. It's so comforting to me that that's your comforting
that you need to submit.
It's comforting to you because I
husband.
That so well.
Yes.
And it just makes you relax, doesn't
submit,
it?
Submit, woman! And so it's one that we often talk about every day in the morning.
This is not your daily verse. This is your comforting verse.
It comforts me that daily we talk about how you need to submit.
Oh, my word.
I remember hearing one time of a man who used to literally preach this to his wife, you know.
That is so weird.
Like, constantly. Bible says you need to submit. It was great. It was, you know, what a wonderful thing it would be to be married to a man.
Oh, wow.
Like that. But
I hope she returned that with some things that he needed to do about, like, the Bible says you need to love me as Christ loved the church.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I
think there's a few things she could fire back, but
I wanted to bring up that Bible verse for some reason. I felt compelled of the Lord. Maybe it's because you need to heed it more often.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Okay, now seriously, here it is. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Having predestinated us according to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Mm. Here the Bible tells us that it was God's preordained will to destine my soul, that when I came to Christ, I would become a child of God. So being a child of God is the first aspect. And then it goes on to say that we are accepted in the family of God. And that's a beautiful concept to me. I tend to sometimes try to be a people pleaser. And I want everyone to accept who I am, the people that I work with or the people that I work for, as in the church or the people in our community, whatever it might be. I want people to accept me. But whenever I realize that I'm accepted by God, then I begin to realize I don't necessarily need to be accepted by everyone else. Therefore, I just need to live to please him. accepted by mm-hmm. God has freed me in a lot of ways to live for the Lord.
And I know the answer to this, but why don't you share with our listeners when that verse really jumped out to you?
Well, I would say the first time was whenever I was taking a class in college called Galatians and Prison Epistles. The teacher mm-hmm. was a man named Dr. Joel Mullinex, and he discussed this concept. He said, you know, students, according to this passage, you are already accepted in the Beloved, which means you don't have to work to earn God's acceptance. He already accepts you, not based upon what you do, but based upon what he has done. Now, when we as religious people sit back and think, wait a minute, God's accepted me? I thought religion was all about proving my acceptability to God. And the answer is no. There's nothing you can do to be found acceptable to God. Mm-hmm. Nothing yeah. you can do to be more liked by God or loved by God. He already accepts you, not based on what you've done, but he accepts you based upon what Christ has done for you. You're part of the family. Mm-hmm. And that is beautiful, especially when you compare it to this concept of adoption. And so he specifically says, I've adopted you. I mean, my sister Hope right now is in the process of adopting 3 children. And, you know, these children are not earning the love of Hope and her husband Josh. They are already loved because they have chosen Hope and Josh to accept them into their family. Same concept with God. God does not accept us based upon how hard we work, but based upon who he is. And there is freedom in knowing that we're already accepted by God, therefore I don't need to be accepted by others, and I don't really need to work for God's approval because he already approves of me.
You know, with that verse and that concept, I think it's amazing when it goes from being head knowledge to being real heart belief. Let me explain. I remember when I was a teenager, my mother discovering the idea of grace. I don't believe it was the same passage necessarily, but I remember her saying the idea that she didn't have to go to church. Now, my mother loved going to church, but the idea that she didn't have to live a religious life, she didn't have to do things and keep up a checklist, that God just accepted her and loved her, and it made her want to do those things even more. But I remember as a teenager not really getting it, thinking, yeah, of course. But when that knowledge goes from just God, you can't make God love you more, you can't make him love you less, he loves you the most he can.
Right.
It just, when it goes from just something that you see on a page that you say, yeah, I know that, to something that really becomes a true belief in your heart and so real to you, it changes everything.
That this concept of being accepted by God's grace is not a concept I think that can really be taught as one that is, like you said a couple weeks ago in mm-hmm. an episode, an epiphany. It is something that comes to you. It's something that you realize. It's something that God has to illuminate into your life. Mm. And the moment it does, the legalistic tendencies of our heart begin to melt away, and we realize, oh, we're accepted by God, by his grace, not by our works, not just for justification, but also for our sanctification and for our glorification, for every aspect of our life. So very comforting verse to me. Now we have another one you want to share.
Well, I haven't shared my comforting verse.
Oh, what is it?
So my comforting verse is one that deals with fear. And I never thought I was a fearful person. I mean, I don't remember a lot of times being afraid as a child, as a teenager, none of that. But over the last few years, as ministry's grown, as God has opened more opportunities, it's surprising to me the fear that has crept into my heart. Mm. And so a great verse, as God will often do, even in my job in ministry, it changes. So the thing I was doing, I got comfortable doing, all of a sudden I'm not doing that anymore. And there's a new area that I'm supposed to oversee, or a new opportunity that I get to, you know, take over. And as I do that, I'm always just so overwhelmed and fearful about it. And so the Lord's given me this verse that's brought great comfort. It's Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help you. I will hold on to you with the right hand of my righteousness." And so anytime I face a new endeavor, a new thing that not just something I dreamed up, but something that God is truly calling me to, and it may not even be a big thing. Other people would be surprised that I'm nervous or fearful about it. But to me, instead of having fear, I turned to this verse and realized, okay, God, you're calling me to this. So it's really on your shoulders. I'm depending on you. It doesn't matter my abilities or lack of. It matters really that you're with me. You're not sending me out here alone. You're not saying go. You're saying come with me and we're going to do this thing. Come, let me show you what I have in store.
Yeah, that's powerful.
And so that is a great comfort to me.
I love it.
All right.
You have one more category of verses that we need to share before we close out.
Yes. And this one is more of, I guess, a challenge verse.
Yeah.
One that God has challenged your heart with.
Yeah.
One that maybe is more of a command.
Okay.
So do you have one for that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So for me, it's not a verse as much as a passage. It's my favorite parable. I'm only going to read one verse in it, but my favorite parable.
Oh, I know what it is.
Matthew chapter 25, Jesus and the talons. He talks to...
The talons. Like an eagle's talons.
Are you making...
I don't remember that parable.
Are you making fun of the way I talk?
It just sounded like talons.
No, it's fine. I'm accepted by the Lord, so I don't need to be accepted
by
you.
You're accepted by me, too.
No.
I love how you say talons, the parable of the talons.
I'm pretty sure I said talent.
Oh, talents.
Talents.
What is a talent?
Our producer, Crystal, is saying I did not. You're siding with her, but that's because you're both women. And
oh.
I feel like you're both being a little sexist.
I have nothing to say to that. I just want to hear your parable.
Do not cut that part out. I think it
I
needs
don't
to go on record.
I don't know how it's sexist that we think you said talons instead of talents.
I'm just.
Okay, if you're listening, right, if you're listening right now, in our audience, you need to go on
and
comment if you thought Josh said talons, like an eagle's talons, a hawk's talons.
You make me so tired.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready to hear?
Yes.
Okay, the parable of the talents and the stewards. All right, Matthew chapter 25, the Bible Jesus tells a story. He ends his Olivet discourse by telling a story about a king that goes away and leaves three men in charge, managers in charge of his household, to start businesses and make money. He gives one 5 talents, another 2, and another 1 talent. So he goes away, he comes back, the first guy comes back, and he turns his 5 into 10. And the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, good job. The second one turns 2 talents into 4. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, great job. The last guy comes up and he says, where's your talent? And he says, well, I have the one that you gave me. He says, what do you mean? You only have the 1 talent that I gave you. And he said this to him. His response was really interesting. His Lord said to him, verse 24 says, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went, and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Bible tells us that this servant got so afraid, and he says to him, he gives the reason behind it. He says, I was afraid because I know that you're a very hard man, and you're a powerful man, and so I just didn't want to make a mistake. And so instead of using what you gave me and becoming inventive and working hard at doubling what you gave me, I just hid it in the ground. Now, why is that a ministry verse? The reason is because I think ministry is often fraught with fear. We are so afraid of doing the wrong thing and displeasing God that a lot of times we end up doing nothing. And I think what we really ought to be afraid of is that the Lord coming back and we haven't doubled what he gave us. I think that's the problem. So I think a lot of times, especially guys like me, pastors, we sit and we're like, oh, I don't know, I could try that, but what if it fails? Or what if I make God angry? Or what if God is unhappy with that idea or whatever it might be? Mm-hmm. We're so scared. And by the way, the 1 talent guys that are so afraid to do anything often look to the 2 and the 5 talent guys and say, man, look at those methods you're using. Look at those ideas that you're trying over there. And I don't know that God would be pleased with the way. Well, you know what? God, the master did not come back and ask about all the methods to turning 5 into 10 or 2 into 4. All he asked was, did you double what I gave you? I think I could totally be wrong, but I think when we stand before God, he's going to be more concerned with bottom line than anything else. I think he's going to be concerned with how many people are in the kingdom. What did you do with the time I gave you? I think that this being one of Jesus' very last parables he gives on the Mount of Olives the week before he's crucified, telling his disciples, look, I'm going to come again. And that's what the Olivet Discourse is all about. I'm coming again, I'm coming again, I'm coming again. And then he ends with the story of leaving disciples behind. How much are you going to get accomplished? I think Jesus' main point was, get a lot done, go. And he wasn't very specific on how to get it done. So to me, it's a big encouragement to say, you know what? Don't be afraid of trying to accomplish great things for God, and especially being sniped at by one talent servants by how we're trying to accomplish things for God, but just not allowing that fear to control you, but knowing that one day I'm accepted by God, I'm accepted in the Beloved, but one day I'm going to stand before my master, and the master is going to say, hey, what'd you do? And it's not going to matter what any of the other stewards say. All that's going to matter is what does the Lord say? And I want to double what he's given me. So that passage has meant a lot to me when it comes to ministry.
That's really good. And I know one that we've talked about a lot, and that's one that's helped me after you shared it with me. It's one that I've thought about and helps also with overcoming fear. For me, there's a new one, and I almost hesitate to share it because I feel like it's something the Lord is still just kind of marinating this verse in my life. And it's one we heard from a pastor in Australia, good friend of ours. He shared it just off the cuff. He wasn't teaching or anything. We were just talking. And he brought this verse up. And even though I've read it before several times, you know, you read through the Bible, it hadn't jumped out to me like it did this time. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And it says, now we exhort you, we encourage you, brethren. It talks about the church here. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men.
Oh, I love that.
And that's a verse that's been a real challenge to me. It's something that, like I said, I'm hesitant to even say too much about because I feel like the Lord is still working on this in my heart and teaching me. But as a person who just honestly is not as merciful as the Lord, not nearly as merciful as the Lord, who is lacking in that, who is too often impatient and wanting things to happen quicker. And when someone doesn't immediately follow God or doesn't immediately grow in the way that I want them to, or someone that, you know, they just can't get that spiritual truth, or they're just very weak and it's hard for them to overcome. This is a verse I need to remember to comfort them, to support them, and to be patient with them, just as God is patient with me as I fumble around. As I am slow to grow, I need to have that patience and love for the brethren. So that's a big one for me.
That's a great one. Look, you know what? When you first talked about having this episode, I thought, what Bible verses are we going to share? But I really enjoyed sharing these.
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
Oh, well, good. Well, I hope you as our audience enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening to episode 11 of the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Now, we shared some verses that have been helpful to us. We'd love to hear maybe your life verse or a verse that has been encouraging to you in serving God or comforting.
Go to our Facebook page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather, and let us know under this post or any post, let us know specifically what is your favorite Bible verse or one that's really meant a lot to you. Also, we wanted to invite you to come and be a part of a special event that we're doing. Heather and I will be teaching at the Coastal Couples Retreat in Manhattan Beach, California. And so if you're able to, go to coastalcouplesretreat.com. That's coastalcouplesretreat.com and register. It's going to be an incredible weekend, romantic, and we're going to talk a lot about not only the Bible, but about how it applies to lives and marriages. We'd love for you to come.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there. Now, on the next episode of the Bible Talks, we plan to discuss the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
Very deep topic, a lot to cover there, some good discussion.
How does God's sovereignty correspond with man's free will? That'll be interesting.
That's the question.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that next week. If you'd like to connect with us further, like our Facebook page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Here we're able to interact with you, right? Take requests for upcoming episodes or even answer your questions. And we'd love to get to know you that way.
And we want you to do one thing for us today. If you haven't already, we want you to rate and review the podcast on iTunes.
Yeah, we've already had several people rate and review. In fact, do you know how many 5-star ratings we have on iTunes right now, Heather?
How many?
We have 10 as of this morning. And then I checked recently, now it's 11.
Wow.
11 5-star ratings. Now you say, well, big deal, right? No, it is actually a big deal because every time we get a 5-star rating, it bumps us up in the iTunes store. And people who are looking for conversations about the Bible will be able to find us. Now, not only that, 5-star rating is great, but if you take 60 seconds and actually write a review, that does more for us than anything else. In fact, we got one from T Wham Z Llama Lover. That's T Wham Z Llama Lover. This one just came in back on October 26th. And this person says, 5 stars, absolutely great. Conversations about the Bible in a fun and informal way. It gives you something to think about and great topics to bring up with friends. Just a pleasure to listen to. Well, that was a pleasure to read.
Yes, you are awesome, Llama Lover. And I relate to you because I'm a goat lover. So thank you so much.
Yes, please. If you could follow Slacks111 and Llama Lover to give us a 5-star review, we would be thankful for that.
Thanks again for listening. And remember, when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.